Mothers. Being a mother isn't easy. If it were, fathers would do it. Thanks, Ari. Welcome to this place, our sanctuary where we meet God and each other. We acknowledge that we are gathering on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples. With this acknowledgement also comes our search to live into right relations with all neighbors and all of creation. We ask for God's help as we journey together. Let's look at our bulletins at this time. Just a few short reminders and announcements, and then Mel and Patrick have two announcements. Congratulations to Jillian Reimer and Dallin Clausen on the arrival of their second daughter, Greta. And also we're thinking and praying for Jim and Bonnie Peters. Jim's brother Rob passed away this week. On May 27th, Saturday, that's 2 weeks from now, there's a sign up for a women's breakfast here at 9 a.m. And it's $5 if you choose to come. So, Mel and Patrick.
Over the last couple of years, our collective, as not just within the church, but collectively, our expectations in terms of particularly of funerals have changed over with the acceleration of technology. And so with that, we are looking for some people who have flexible schedules, who'd be willing to be trained on some of our tech equipment, particularly the broadcast equipment as well as the sound, particularly to be able to work at funerals. So if you have a schedule that would allow some daytime as well as like some weekday as well as possibly some weekends and go, you know, I wouldn't mind learning how to manipulate some of that stuff, we would like to hear from you. You can contact me or contact Tim directly. If you contact me, I'll likely just, you know, navigate you toward Tim Schmidt as well. So please, if that's something that you're interested in, we'd love to hear from you.
And I just have two announcements. I'd like you to take your bulletins, if you could. Actually, a third about those Father's Day quotes. I have an even better one, but I'm not going to say it from up here. And so if you want to know what it is, I already told Ashley, and she thought it was good. And so just come see me after, and I'll tell you exactly what it was. Yeah. In the bulletin, if you see on the second page, gift card exchange, Kyle and a group of people have been up here numbers of times in the past, 6 months, and we were talking about a project, a program to sort of give gift cards to those who are would like to have them because of rising prices on food and other things, and so the gift card can really be helpful to those who are needing that. So if you take a look at it there, those cards can be donated to the church. You can buy them at any of the locations you can see there and just hand them into the church office, and then any of you who would like to receive those gift cards, please be in touch with Kyle and I, and we can talk about that. This announcement will be coming regularly, just so we're always reminding that we are doing this together, and we'd like to encourage that kind of participation. The other one is on the back side of the bulletin, the service opportunity there. Eldon, who is our neighbor, has been in the news on Steinbeck Online quite a bit talking about the bins that you can collect. Yesterday I was talking with some folks. They were taking stuff over there after our men's breakfast. Those bins need some supervision. And last year, Jerry and Georgia did that, and John Mahi did that, and I was there. We would like to have a few volunteers to sit at those bins on a Saturday morning as people are coming to dump grass clippings and leaves, a 9 to 12 shift or a 12 to 3 on some Saturdays starting in June and a little bit onward. So if you'd like to do that, then please come and see me. It's a really good time. You drink coffee, sit in the shade or the sun, meet a few people. It's a really good morning together in that way. So please come and see me if you'd like to do that.
Good morning. On this day of pansies in hand-painted pots and dry macaroni art, and I love you moms, let's gather together. Please stand and sing with us. Number one in the hymnal, Summoned by the God Who Made Us. Words will be on the screen. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Together to reflect on your word and our life in your world. Be with us now as we sing and pray and listen, that we may hear your voice and understand your ways. This we pray through Christ Jesus. Amen.
And join us again for number 428, Praise with Joy the World's Creator. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Shall never cease. Celebrate.
Please bow with me for a special Mother's Day prayer. Loving God, we give thanks today for mothers. Thank you for mothers who gave birth to us and women who have treated us as their own children, loving us, teaching us, and guiding us by their example. Some of us need your comfort today because we are missing mothers. Some are missing their children. Some are parted by distance or death. Comfort those who have given up their child for adoption or who choose not to give birth. Comfort those who longed to be biological mothers and could not. We pray for those whose mothers have disappointed them or children who have become estranged. We ask for grace in relationships where there is pain and bitterness, for healing in relationships where there is abuse and violence. Help our congregation be a space where people can feel mothered, their gifts and talents appreciated and nurtured. And we pray for mothers around the world, mothers who cannot feed their children, mothers who are homeless or without a homeland, mothers who must teach their children about the dangers of bombs and bullets. Help us create a world where mothers can raise their children in peace and plenty. God of mothers, who created mothers, who came as a child and had a mother, God, our mother, loving us with a sweeter and deeper love than we have ever known, hear our prayer this day. Amen.
Little baby told God, "Hey, I'm kinda scared. Don't really know if I wanna go down there. From here it looks like a little blue ball, but it's a great big world, and I'm so small. Why can't I just stay here with you? Did I make you mad? Don't you want me to?" God said, "Oh child, of course I do. But there's somebody special who's waiting for you. So hush now, baby, don't you cry. There's someone waiting for you whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be all right. A loving angel, tender, tough and strong. It's almost time to go and meet your mom. You'll never have a better friend or a warmer touch to tuck you in. She'll kiss your bruises, your bumps and scrapes, and whenever you hurt, her heart's gonna ache. So hush now, baby, don't you cry. There's someone waiting for you whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be all right. A loving angel, tender, tough and strong. It's almost time to go and meet your mom. Now when she's talking to you, you make sure you listen close. She's gonna teach you everything you'll ever need to know, like how to mind your manners, how to love and laugh and dream. And she'll put you on the path that will lead you back to me. So hush now, baby, don't you cry. There's someone waiting for you whose only goal in life is making sure you're always gonna be all right. A loving angel, tender, tough and strong. Come on, child, it's time to meet your mom.
Hi, I'm Kate. Today we are going to sing a fun song that we sing in Children's Church. If you would like to sing these fun songs and tell some stories and eat some snacks with us, please talk to Marianne. She would love to have you as a volunteer for Children's Church once a month this fall. Enjoy the song.
Hi, kids. Hi, everyone. It's me, Kyle the Puppet, the only one who they gave pants to. Who wears jeans to church anyways? I haven't seen you in a long time. Actually, I haven't seen Finn in a while either. So let's call her out. Ready? One, two, three. Finn the Dragon!
Hi, kids! Hi, wait. Hi, no. Hi, Kyle. Wow, we haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been?
Well, most Sundays they have me stuffed down in a box way down in the basement of this castle with all the mice. I was beginning to wonder if anybody missed me.
Well, I did.
Oh, phew. Thanks, Finn. But don't worry. I've made friends with the mice. I've even given them names. Their names are Mickey, Minnie, Mighty, Mortimer, Reepicheep, and Speedy Gonzalez.
Those names sound both original and under copyright.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. Hey, Finn, do you know why this Sunday is a special Sunday?
It's Mother's Day!
No.
What?
Well, okay, it is Mother's Day, and I'm sure your mom is a very nice dragon, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Well, why is this Sunday special?
Because my friends, Nettie and Ernest, are becoming members at our church. Hello, Nettie and Ernest. I'm waving at you. Are you waving at me?
What do you mean they're becoming members of the church?
Well, some years ago, Nettie and Ernest got baptized at different churches.
Wait, there are other churches besides this one?
Yep. And God loves them all just as much as God loves us.
Are you sure?
100% sure.
Okay, I'll trust you. God's infinite love is for everyone.
Yeah, but sometimes we don't stay at our first churches. Some of us find new ones as we grow older. And that's okay, because God's kingdom is big enough for everyone.
Exactly. I used to go to the First Church of the Dragonites over on Lonely Mountain Avenue. Oh, we used to have the best potlucks. I loved sinking my teeth into those charred lamb chops.
So why aren't you at the Dragonite Church now?
It burned down.
What? The building burnt down?
Yeah, a bunch of kids. We're singing some children's church songs on Mother's Day, and one of the little dragons got a wee bit excited, and let's just say we celebrated Ash Wednesday on a Sunday that year.
And now you're here at Grace?
Yep, and I love it. I love being here. Being a member at church is like being on a soccer team. We sign up to play, we get snacks, and sometimes we even score goals.
Ha! Huh. I love snacks more, just as much as soccer goals.
And just like my soccer team, I love being here and I get to meet new people. I get to help others, and I get to help teach things, and eat good snacks too.
So coming to church and being a member is like being on a soccer team.
You bet. But maybe, being a member at church is also like being a soccer coach. Sure, as a player, I might miss a few games here or there, but when I'm sick or have a piano recital, but even when I'm not there, the coach is still there so that all the other dragons who are excited about playing soccer can have a great time.
Huh. And as every parent who has signed their kid up for soccer in Steinbeck, and has been bombarded with emails saying that their kid's team doesn't have a coach, and if nobody steps up to volunteer, the parents will have to figure it out on the sidelines when they get there, and they all hate those emails, I'd suggest that being a coach sounds very important.
Very important indeed. Kind of like being a church member. Hmm. Hey, Kyle.
Yes?
Do you know why my mom is like a soccer player?
Do I know why your mom is like a soccer player? No, I have no idea. Why?
She's kind and loving and gives me hugs. So she's a keeper.
Oh, Finn. I'm going back into my box now with my friends, the mice, who tell better jokes than you. But the rest of you kids, and you middle school kids over there out there too, you can all go back to Children's Church now. Bye!
Bye!
Well, receiving new members is fun, and maybe we could have just left it at that, and I wouldn't even need to do what I'm doing, Ernest and Nettie, because Kyle already welcomed you and put you a little bit on the spot. We're glad you're all here this morning, though, and we are all glad that to celebrate that Ernest and Nettie are going to be, Nettie Sperling and Ernest Clausen, so if you look them up in the directory, you know who they are. They're going to be received into formal membership this morning, and we're glad that we can do that together. Nettie has already been part of the body of Christ in other churches, and today is joining us in his place where we are Jesus followers together. Ernest has been coming to Grace for many, many years, but never formally became a member, so he's doing that today, and we're glad for both of them. I and we obviously haven't known Nettie as long as we have known you, Ernest. Ernest, I've gotten to know you through some difficult times, and also gotten to know you through their conversations about being out of town in the land and how much you like to drive around and see everything there, and we spent a lot of time enjoying those conversations about how beautiful it is there. Nettie, we've only gotten to know you recently, but I've enjoyed your smiles and your friendliness and your hospitality, and you just seem to be so kind and willing to sit and talk, and I really have appreciated getting to meet you here as you've come for coffee and as I've been with you in your condo, so good to have you here as well. The other thing I wanted to say, though, I could be wrong, but I don't think that I've ever welcomed any couple of your collective age into Grace. Now, I'm not sure what that would be, but it's over 160 years, and so we're really glad that we've got 160 years of you joining us today in this spiritual home, in this place, and I'm glad that we can do this, and that I can do it as a friend and as your pastor. When we talked about this, Nettie and Ernest, you said to me, we don't have to get up and say anything, right? And I said, no, you don't. But I am actually going to come down to you in the middle there and ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, after which we're all going to stand and have a congregational affirmation on the screen. So first of all, I'll do my part and come down here. And I'll ask you to stand, Ernest and Nettie. Now you all know who they are. They were waving when Kyle was pointing them out, but now you see them here. Thanks. Ernest and Nettie, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions in which you can answer, I will, together, and I do. Well, you'll just answer as I will say. So I'm going to ask you those questions now, and they have to do about being part of us and sharing all that we do here as a congregation in the ways that you can. Nettie and Ernest, will you join this congregation, worshiping and serving and sharing in its mission, supporting it by your prayers and participation as God gives you strength and in ways that you are able to, then answer with God's help, I will.
With God.
And do you promise to live and share with us in this Christian fellowship, giving and receiving love, sharing and bearing each other's joy and pain with everyone here? Then answer with God's help, I do.
With God's help, I do.
Thank you, Ernest and Nettie. Now, we as a congregation have a response to give to them as well, and I'm going to ask a question of you. Do we promise to live and share with Nettie and Ernest in Christian fellowship, giving and receiving love and sharing and bearing each other's joys and pains, sharing in God's mission together, then let's all answer together, with God's help, we do.
With God's help, we do.
Nettie and Ernest, you've committed yourself to God in Jesus Christ and to this community of faith. We've committed ourselves to God and to Jesus Christ, and we commit ourselves to you as well. So we welcome you as members into this community of faith here at Grace Mennonite Church. I'm going to ask us all to stand now, if you could. There's going to be an affirmation put up on the screen. Sometimes we gather around, but what I'm going to ask you to do, if it's not too uncomfortable, is put a hand on a shoulder in front of you, if there's someone in front of you, and that way we're all kind of connected. So put a hand on a shoulder in front of you, just standing in the pews where you are. We're going to speak this together as we share and become realize again that we are a community sharing our membership vows together, we might say. Let's do that together. We again commit ourselves to this community in which Christ is present. We open ourselves to fellowship with each other in worship, study, and service. We commit ourselves to watch over each other with hearts of caring and concern. We offer our willingness to give and receive forgiveness in the same way that God has given forgiveness to us in Jesus Christ. We are glad that we can walk together with God as partners, both in the care of our spiritual family, in our mission to the world. Leave your hands where they are, and I'm going to pray for Nettie and Ernest and us as a congregation. God, you have made us and given us life. You give us life by forgiving us in Christ Jesus, and you guide us by your Spirit. We are thankful for this morning that Ernest and Nettie can be with us in this place. We thank you for their lives of faithfulness to you and their families and friends and people around them over many years. Thank you that we have been able to share those here, and we will continue to now in this way. And I pray for us as a congregation that we will know that all of us belong together and are one. We are your people here as we continue to love each other and you as you have asked. In Christ, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Mel just asked you to sit, but I'm going to ask you to stand again. If you're able, let's sing number 722 in the hymnal, Help Us to Help Each Other. Words will be on the screen as well. I hope that those of you who are guests here this morning don't feel left out by us putting hands on our shoulders. And I hope if you're not here frequently that you realize that we are all one. And wherever we come from, we are gathered together in Christ. And maybe that's the story that comes out of today's story as well, or the message that comes out of today's story. In it, Cornelius was a man who lived in Caesarea. He was a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout and God-fearing man, together with all of his family. He gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed constantly to God. So one afternoon, about 3:00, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel coming to him and saying, "Cornelius." Well, he stared at the angel and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and alms have come before God as a memorial. So send some people to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner in his house by the seashore." So after the angel had left, he called together two of his slaves and a devout servant from within the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them on their way. So the next day, they were approaching Caesarea as they were on their journey,
and Peter, whom they were coming to find, went up on the roof to pray. As he was praying, he became hungry and he wanted something to eat. But while it was being prepared, he had a trance. He fell into a trance. Something like a sheet came down from heaven, and it was lowered to the ground by its four corners. And when it was opened up, inside there were four-legged creatures of all kinds and reptiles and birds of the air. And then a voice said to him, "Peter, get up, kill and eat." He said, "By no means, Lord. I have never eaten anything profane or unclean." And then the voice said again, a second time, "Peter, do not what God has made clean, do not call profane." This happened a third time, and then suddenly the sheet was taken back up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what this vision and what to make of it, what it might mean, the men from Caesarea arrived down below. They were coming to ask about Simon's house, and they were standing there at the gate. And then they asked if Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. Meanwhile, up on the roof, Peter, still wondering about the vision, had the Spirit speak to him. "Peter, look, three men have come down looking for you. So go down. Do not be afraid to go with them, for I have sent them to you." So Peter got up and went down, and he told them, "I'm the one you're looking for. What's your reason for coming?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and devout man, well spoken of by the entire Jewish assembly, had a vision in which a holy angel directed him to send for you to come to his house to hear what you might have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging for the night. And the next day, he went with them. And also some of the brothers and sisters from Joppa accompanied them. The next day, they arrived in Caesarea. And as they entered the house, Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together relatives and close friends. Well, Cornelius told Peter why he had called for him. And Peter said to them, "You know, according to my religion, I as a Jew am not to be associating with you as a Gentile, but God has shown me something." And then he said, "I now see that there is no partiality with God, but in all people, anyone who fears God and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. And you know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of all. God was with him, anointing him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And so he went around doing good and healing everyone who was oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And then we were commanded to preach this message to all peoples, as the prophets also testify that if to believe in his name, anyone will receive forgiveness of sin." Well, while Peter was speaking, suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon all those who heard the word. And the circumcised believers who had come from Joppa with Peter, well, they were astounded that the Holy Spirit had also been poured out even on the Gentiles. The world, our church, our own lives sometimes move on turning points. That is, significant events which change the course of life or our lives. In days gone by, many would have easily attributed those events to God. The Old Testament does that often. We just had a conversation about that in our Anabaptist Bible Project Bible study conversation. It might have been the first thing that was thought of. Whether everyone believed it or not, it was attributed to God. The stories in the Acts, which we're going through now after Easter and the resurrection, which we celebrated, do the same thing. I'm currently reading some novels that are set in the 1300s. In recent chapters, I'm reading the context for the novels is the plague, which wiped out a large percentage of the population. Very interesting to hear an author before our plague write the plague into a novel. Very interesting. Anyway, monks and priests preached that this plague was God's punishment and that they'd all need to repent to see it end. At the same time, there were those who were less convinced that God was causing it all. And so we have a 21st century author writing of the 14th century, assuming that then, even then, when God was the reason for everything, there were those who necessarily didn't believe it. Even in our plague, I heard very few declaring that this was God's punishment on us for this or that. On the flip side, while bad news was seen as punishment, good news was likely attributed to living right with God. That's a theme in Job, which we also looked at in our Bible study. Job starts with everything, and then he loses everything. And it's sort of understood as God's punishment in the opinion of his friends. So having everything at the beginning and at the end of the story is seen as God's blessing. In our day, I think I could safely say that we often think that God has little to do with that which does happen. Or maybe I should say we really don't act as if we think that God has much to do with the things that happen. Oh, we say things like, well, it's all in God's hands, but we usually do that only in emergencies or tough spots. We largely feel that life is in our hands. As per the saying, God helps those who help themselves. We make it happen or not, which in the end translate into we make God's work happen or not. After all, as we sang last week, Christ has no body here but ours, no hands or feet here on earth but ours. Ours are the eyes through which he looks upon this world with kindness. In other words, God works, or if we do. While so true, here in today's story, God does not work as people do. Rather, people work as God does. That is, God comes first, not the people in the story, which makes today's story probably seem a little bit strange to our ears. In this story, Cornelius is being the feet and hands of Jesus by giving alms and fearing God and practicing righteousness and praying constantly to God. Not as much is named about Peter, although in the story we assume these things because he did go up on the roof to pray. And after denying Jesus back in the story of Good Friday, he is later absolved by Jesus, if that's the right word, when he meets him later and is told by Jesus to go feed my sheep. So we're told that this is kind of the direction that Peter has gone. But he and Cornelius are both named as doing something. But there is no sense that what they do initiates the good work of God. This comes so entirely out of the blue, unexpected by both of them, that it has to be attributed entirely to God. They didn't do it. In that sense, it has an Old Testament or an Acts kind of feel to it, or like that 14th century novel context that I'm reading. Suddenly, God is responsible for what happens. Being the feet and hands of Jesus is a response. It's not the initiative. And here it's not primarily a response, but God's initiative that's the turning point in this story. I wonder about turning points. Not only how were the feet and hands of Jesus, but how we're put on that actual path. Paths we end up finding to be God's good and what God hopes for all people because God sent us there. For example, personally, I had a turning point back in my early 20s. I've told the story before of my life in those years in some sermons, I think. God was not very important to me at that time. I was not in church. I ended up breaking my hand at a construction site, and I ended up going to summer camp as a summer counselor at that time. In fact, I was hired, if that's the right word, by someone who was actually counseled not to because they said, Mel isn't in a spot where you really want him there with other kids and doing the things that that we want to do there. But he said, I think we'll leave it in God's hands and we'll do it anyway. Then God met me on a day, an evening, that I can remember very clearly. It was very unexpected and sudden, very present and real. Maybe the Spirit speaking, that encounter asked for a response, and it changed the course of my entire life. Another one. We enjoy coffee and conversation in our foyer every Sunday. Given the enthusiasm and the chatter and the numbers staying, I'd say that it's a central part of our being here. I think you come here more for the music and the coffee than for Kyle and me to be up here, but I'll just keep that to myself. Well, years ago, worship started at 11, and when it was over, everybody ran for the restaurants. We didn't hang around all that much. Few people came to Sunday school before coffee, and some people came for coffee before worship, but as a percentage of our entire Sunday morning gathering, not many people were here hanging around, talking, and being with each other the way that we are now. Then, one year, after a consult that we had, a suggestion was made that we switch the times of our Sunday school and worship. Then more people might stay for Sunday school, which we now call formation, because they'd already be here. And we might stay for coffee because no one would be rushing off to brunch because it wouldn't be noon yet. Well, at a meeting to decide this, there was some reservation. It might seem like a small thing, actually, but every change is change, and change for all of us is usually kind of hard. As we talked and listened to each other, an older gentleman, Art Berg, Bonnie's dad, and I'm not sure that Jim and Bonnie are here today, a respected elder in the congregation, got up and gently, walking between both views, said, "Maybe we could try it. If it doesn't work, we could go back." Well, after he spoke, we all relaxed and decided to go ahead and give it a try. So today, you're drinking coffee and enjoying stimulating formation sessions after worship because of Art Berg in that meeting. Maybe the Spirit spoke. Will it always be the way we do it now? Likely not. I imagine it's going to change again sometime. The Spirit doesn't speak once and for all. And finally, in a larger story, one in which the Spirit of God might not even be remotely thought of as acting, you might remember the incident of a tragic death of a young 2-year-old Syrian boy. He drowned in 2015 in the Mediterranean Sea with his mother and brother. The family were refugees trying to reach Europe in the aftermath or during the Syrian war. Photographs of his body were taken, which quickly went viral, prompting international responses. You might all remember that story. Since the family had reportedly been trying to reach Canada, the refugee crisis became an issue in our 2015 Canadian federal election. Now, God would not orchestrate the death of this boy and his family. But the incident brought the urgency of the crises to light. It created a response, the caring that those fleeing the war needed from all people, from God's people. The photographer who snapped the photo, simply trying to capture the horror of it all, likely did not know what would come of it at all. The story of one family became an impetus to look after people ravaged by war. It was a moment of tragedy that brought about a response that God would hope for, a response that might not have happened without this happening. Maybe the Spirit speaking through that which shouldn't have happened at all. We might think sometimes that if only we'd have brilliant angels telling us what to do for God, or a sheet from heaven accompanied by a voice telling us to eat Big Macs, well, then we'd know that God really was there and asking something of us. We'd be all in because it would be so obvious what God wants us to do. Well, we might also think sometimes that all of God's work is up to us, that God only gets as far as we do. That's the success of God's work rests entirely in our hands. Or that it's only the right people, doing things the right ways, which usually means the way we'd expect and hope for, that are truly doing work that God would want to do among us. To a point, I would likely say that's true. I think that trying to be the feet and hands of Jesus, already doing and praying and responding to all that we have received, like Cornelius and Peter, creates a listening and receptive heart and mind in us so that we will hear even more. Responding to what we've heard when we've heard it, as I was asked to do. That is so important. But I also think that today's story adds a component that's not always part of our conversation. That God is working harder than we are to bring all of God's good people into life together, into creation in Christ. And that is just so much bigger than us. It's beyond us, so much more than we know or that we even want to try and do. I did not know on one morning that in the evening I would have an encounter like I did. Art did not know on that Sunday morning, and neither did we, that he was going to get up and speak. A photographer did not know what that picture would ignite. But the Spirit speaks when we're not aware,
and only in hindsight do we see God's good that starts to come of it. Rose and I are going to end this morning with a song by Bruce Cockburn that reflects that, with a couple of words appropriately changed. Singing it maybe feels a bit, I don't know, risky. After all, it seemed to suggest that it doesn't matter who we are or what we do, we are part of God's work no matter what. I imagine that there is that which we do, which we shouldn't or doesn't help, that which blocks God's work whether we realize it or not. But on the other hand, the song reflects that in all things, our God is working through us and in us and around us by the Spirit. God cannot be stopped. God's good, God's kingdom, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, no matter what happens, no matter who does it or how. God wants to and is working to bring all of God's good to all of God's people and God's creation. We're part of that, whether we realize it or not. So may we believe that and trust that all that we do, that the Spirit is working. And may we have some courage so that when we do occasionally feel clearly what God wants, that we will eagerly respond to it. Rose, let's see. Steinbeck or afar makes no difference where you are. Doesn't matter what you think or if you smoke or if you drink. You're a thread upon the loom.
Thanks, Mel and Rose. Let's stand and join together to respond with Spirit of the Living God, number 740 in the hymnal. Words will be on the screen.
Let's bow together for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your presence in our lives and for your faithfulness. In this season of sun and blossom, creation is so much with us. Sights, sounds, tastes, fragrances. We pause to give thanks for something in nature that gave us joy this week. You have brought to mind and heart people that are in our lives. We pause to give thanks for an experience of joy or peace with a loved one that we had this week. We ask forgiveness for a time this week where we have disturbed or destroyed the peace of another person. We pray for someone who is on our hearts, whom we know that we have wronged or that has been treated wrongly by others. And for our hurting world, we pray for a specific place that is on our hearts that needs your peace, your healing. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, weave us together by your love. We long to be part of your weaving, your work in the world. May we each, as individual threads upon the loom, allow your powerful spirit of love to live in us and through us. And may this same spirit give us eyes to see you and your work in each person, in each situation that we encounter. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand and join us for our final song of the morning, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant," number 778 in the hymnal. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 5, and 6, and then we'll remain standing for the benediction.
From 1 John chapter 4 as the benediction. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God first loved us and sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is made complete in us. Go now in the great and gentle love of God. Amen.